The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Man, that was a fun conversation we were just having off the air. I love that. And it's it was about the passionate nature of Drew Lock fans these days. I call it the delusion of the present, that some people just fall in love with players for whatever reason, because that is the current situation. Happens every year in camp, usually with like some undersized running back. It's the delusion of the present that this guy is going to be the next great thing, because you can't play.
I think it's more the backup delusion. It's the everybody's favorite player is the backup quarterback on a bad football team.
Well, it's like this. You can't accept, or I guess you don't think about, there could be somebody coming up, you know, next behind you. Cheer is out. Did you ever watch the first season of Cheer on Netflix?
No.
Oh, man, you got to watch it.
No.
All right, you don't got to do anything.
No,
but
I'm never going to watch Cheer.
It's so good. It's so, so good, because it's about competition and coaching and young people and power and corruption.
I can watch all that in, like, Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks is good, too. I'm not saying you have to make a choice. They're good companion shows. But, you know, it's so funny. In the new season of Cheer, you see a new batch of people coming up. And this happens everywhere. So the delusion of the present is to think whatever exists right now is the best you can ever do. And for people that just are so into Drew Lock, you are delusional in the present, man. If you don't think there's better things that could come up down the road.
It's absolutely like it's crazy. We were actually having a conversation. Who's more delusional, Tim Tebow supporters or Drew Lock supporters? And you could make an argument that Drew Lock supporters are more delusional. Like, seriously, I'm not saying Drew Lock is a garbage quarterback, but I'm saying you're delusional if you think that guy is a franchise quarterback. Like, it is insane. He has had opportunities. He played good football at the last couple games of the year. Mm-hmm. That was the best version of Drew Lock that we've seen. Did that turn into a win? Did we see any production? Like, oh my gosh, how many times do you need to see it before you believe your eyes?
Nah, with that amount of experience and with preparation.
And here's the real problem. It's not so much that they even think that Drew Lock is like that good. It's just they're so mad at Teddy. They're so mad that he's not the solution. Mm-hmm. So they delusionally think that Drew Lock is going to be better. Like, hey, they can both not be franchise quarterbacks. Those are both factual statements. You fall into this belief that, oh, the backup quarterback on a bad football team, he's going to be better. No, he's not. He's not better. He's not going to be a franchise quarterback.
Yeah. The delusion of the present, that it's got to be one of these guys. The fact of the matter is the Broncos did screw this all up. Okay. They screwed a lot of things up. I'm not even going to hang George Payton out to dry on this one necessarily. It was set up in a horrific way this year. It was win now. And this team just was never set up to win now. But talk about delusional. The concept that they were and the attitude they took into the season, because the coaches knew they had to win to save their jobs.
So you know how delusional they are? It's almost as delusional as people that would write a manifesto about Tebow.
Well, no.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
I don't think you got me, because the only way to win with Tebow was to do a very specific amount of things surrounding Tim Tebow.
Yeah, there was no way. That is the delusion.
Okay,
seriously, that's
come
the
up,
delusion.
Come up.
Thinking that there is a way.
How do you win with Tim Tebow?
You don't.
Okay, but if you have to figure out. And that's where the Broncos are.
How to be competitive? Okay,
yes.
I could give you the solutions on how to be competitive, but that's a way different question. I mean, thinking that you could actually win is delusional. There is no way to ever win in the long run with Tim Tebow.
Okay.
That is delusional.
But
you could be the most competitive you could possibly be, but actually winning, that's way different.
Okay, but again, this is trying to solve a problem that you didn't create in the first place. So I know you're ripping on me with the manifesto.
No. The way you solved that problem, you move on. That's how you solve the problem.
Get it. And once they moved on, fine. But they hadn't moved on yet. So if you have somebody You're stuck with them. How do you possibly make it work?
So aside you from, don't. You don't. That's well, like that's what dumb teams do is you stay with something that doesn't work. So what you should have written a manifesto about? The next first round quarterback. Like that would have made a whole lot more sense.
We talked about that incessantly. We said over and over again, if you could get Peyton Manning here, it would be better. I screamed, Tyler, I am because it's out of context. I screamed for drafting Russell Wilson the next year with Tebow here. I talked about it almost on a daily basis, how they should be drafting Russell Wilson with Tim Tebow here.
Well, and of course, that's what you should be talking
and
about.
And that's what we did talk about. So the manifesto with Tebow was simply, how in the world do you make it work with who you have?
So you don't.
Well, and of course. And but you have to understand.
But that's, don't you see how that's delusional? Like thinking that you could make it work? Thinking that there's a way that you could make it work? That's the delusional part of it.
But you can't. All right, fine. But to come on the air, and a lot of people did, every single day and just say, this is terrible, it'll never work. I mean, okay, fine. You're not really trying to solve the problem. I mean, that's
it. Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. No. That's how you solve the problem.
We're in the middle of the season. The season is, we're 1-4 with Kyle Orton. What do you do now? Seriously, what do you do?
You could have written like the surviving the year manifesto,
well,
I suppose.
That's what it was, man.
I know it was a 7-year plan.
If you're going to stick with this guy, hey, man, what do you think would have happened if they didn't get Peyton Manning? What would have happened that next year?
They would have been searching for a QB.
They would
have had somebody.
Hopefully.
I don't know who it would have been, but I promise you there would have been somebody not named Tim Tebow.
Fine, let's play the game where they drafted Brock Osweiler. Would it still be Brock, or would it be Russell Wilson, who would theoretically set up better?
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
Now
you're losing me.
This is when the manifesto was written. By the way, the manifesto would apply to Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, it would have been Brock. It would have been Brock. It would have been the best available quarterback. It would have been somebody that would give you an opportunity to win.
Cool. And then Tebow would be gone.
That's right.
One way or the other, Tebow was gone. But that's not the question. The question is, how do you...
I didn't expect this.
Well, how do you... All right, hold on. How
this
do you win?
It's so funny because during the break, this is literally what we were arguing.
How do you win? How do you win with a subpar...
You got to feel validated.
How do you win with a subpar quarterback?
You don't. Like,
are you sure?
Like,
how many elite quarterbacks are in the playoffs right now?
T-Mac, you'll never have every now and then you'll see a subpar quarterback win a Super Bowl, but it'll never be replicated, and there'll never be a dynasty. So you can give yourself the best opportunity to survive a season, but the delusion is thinking that you can come up with a plan to make it work in the long run. No, what you do is you find the next available player.
Of course, and that's why you draft a quarterback as high as you can, and you don't mess around with it. And if it doesn't work out, if you get the Josh Rosen, Mike Evans, you just do it again. You rinse and repeat, and you never draft a quarterback in the 20s. It feels so ridiculous to me that I have to sit here and be the Tim Tebow apologist when I never would.
Don't. You don't have to. Nobody asked you to.
Well, you bring up the manifesto. The question was, how do you make it work? How do you make it work? Answer that question. And if the answer
You don't.
Okay.
That's the whole point.
But that's
like somebody on the text line says, Bridgewater supporters are more delusional. No. If I ever told you that you could win a Super Bowl with Teddy Bridgewater, that would be delusional. If I ever told you that you could build a team around Teddy Bridgewater, that would be delusional. But saying he's the best available option on your team to survive the season, to what you're saying, how do you survive this year the best you possibly can? Well, you play the best available quarterback.
Stop talking about Tebow, D-Mac. And Tyler, stop bringing it up. I'm fine.
It's so funny.
I don't bring it up.
It's just so funny because it's exactly what Richie was talking about.
It does. If you want to, you want my hair on the back of my neck to stand up, it's to take things out of context when it comes to the quarterback position. Ain't no doubt about it. You're going to get me going. No doubt about it. But that's cool because, I'd rather, I know what the right thing is to do. I have for a long time. Tim Tebow wasn't the answer, Tyler. Tim Tebow was an idiotic decision made by Josh McDaniels.
Why'd you write a manifesto?
Why do you think...
I really don't get that. Sitting there saying that, of course it could have never worked, why did you write a manifesto?
Why do you think I wrote it?
I don't know. I'm not you. I'm asking you.
I wrote
because
it.
Because you thought you could make it work.
No, I was trying to propose how it possibly could work. Not that I thought it could work, but how it possibly could work.
So you wrote a manifesto about something you didn't think could work?
Correct. Correct.
Well, I guess you're delusional.
It's an interesting thing. It's defending something you don't inherently agree with.
Yeah.
If you have to sit up here or in ever in your life and you have to make a case for something you don't believe in, how would you go about it? What would you say? Sure, you could say it will never work. But that's essentially what you've always been saying. How would you say it would work? That's what I would challenge. And that has been my position with Drew Lock, by the way, because I never, ever, 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 ever would have drafted Drew Lock where he was drafted. Ever in a million years. It's never made sense to me.
So that, honestly, that's where the delusion comes in, is thinking that you could fix something that's broken. And when it's broken, you move on.
Exactly.
And that's why the Broncos
did
the right thing in playing Teddy Bridgewater, not because he was the solution, not because he's going to win you a Super Bowl, but because the previous product was broken.
All right. You guys get me going. We'll get you update. I'm calming down, but my goodness, TiVo, the gift that never will stop giving. It's Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver's Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
It's going down. We all rubbed shoulders during the break. It was fun. It was like kumbaya. Richie and Kevin came in here. It was like just group massage time. It was fun. It was good.
I didn't feel my shoulders being rubbed.
All right, we all made fun.
It makes sense why D-Mac loves Bull Bull.
And then somebody on the text line said Bull Bull lovers and Drew Lock lovers are the same. I'm like, it all makes sense why D-Mac loves Bull Bull.
Hey, for the record, I'm ready to move on from both of these. So it's fine by me. quarterbacks, man, never gets boring. It's what it all centers around. We were talking about Kyle Shanahan during the break a little bit. And, you know, we have the highest opinion of Kyle Shanahan.
Of course, yeah.
That 2017 coaching-ness, you got to keep that in mind. And by the way, very, very specifically, our guy Patrick Smyth, he's seen it all. And he's a good sounding board for George Payton right now. Because John Elway's not involved with this process. Neither is Joe Ellis. Mm-hmm. The only guy that really has seen it all of it, is Patrick.
Yeah, and he deals with a lot of the stuff that is important, but that decision makers, they wouldn't really consider. And like when you're looking for an X's and O's guys, do you think about all the complexities that come with Josh McDaniels? Do you think about all the big picture stuff?
Yep.
You know, and you're right. We were talking about Kyle during the break, and that's a fun little test. You know, we talk about Kyle Shanahan so glowingly, and obviously I've got a strong affinity for the Shanahan family, and I just firmly believe in Kyle, but it's a fun little test. Like, if Kyle Shanahan was with the Denver Broncos with the exact same record that he has with the 49ers, do you have the patience to see it through? Like, do the 49ers fans, can they see through the fog of mediocre play to see what they really got? Mm. And, you know, that's a challenge. Like if I'm keeping it real, if I didn't know Kyle on a firsthand level, if I didn't know how brilliant he was, if I didn't just firmly believe in the depths of my soul that this dude is going to be a long-term successful coach, I could see, if I had no affinity to him, I'm just an outside observer looking at the record, you're saying, wow, man, it's kind of been mediocre. You put it all on the line for Trey Lance. He doesn't look ready right now. And, you know, well, is this guy really that good?
Yeah, hey.
And of course the answer is yes, but it's hard to see through the weeds when you're mm-hmm. stuck in the moment.
So, you know, just talk about somebody that we're buddies with, Patrick, and we just really don't talk about all that much. I think Broncos fans are aware of Patrick. I just don't know if they realize how important he is to the organization. Like, the Broncos on the field, it's been a disaster, okay? It has been. I mean, they're them and the Jets are the only two teams that haven't made the playoffs for the past 6 years. And the Broncos managed that feat after winning the Super Bowl, which is, you know, it's awful. The amount of things, though, off the football field that the Broncos get right, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They get so many things right, and they do so many things the right way. That is one of the reasons why the Broncos are a Tiffany-level organization, just the highest level of the way they do things overall.
Well, that's why I told you last week when I talked to an offensive coordinator that, you know, that guy said in the big picture, he still looks at the Broncos like that's a first-class organization, that they're going through a temporary period of transition. But in the big picture, everybody thinks about the Broncos as first-class, and Patrick's a huge part of that. You know, Patrick, if Pat Bowlen would have had a normal transition of power to one of his kids, and he was making that decision on his own.
Yeah.
So the team's never going through this transition period, and it's never for sale. Well, Patrick Spythe was he was on the path to become Joe Ellis. Like that's where his career is going, and it still might. Honestly, Patrick Spythe could easily be Joe Ellis either for the Denver Broncos or for somebody else. But I firmly believe that the natural transition from Joe Ellis to somebody else, mm-hmm. if you weren't selling the team, would be go from Joe Ellis to Patrick Spythe.
Yeah, and by the way, in this coaching search, Patrick is involved with it. And the fact that Joe and John aren't, and Patrick is, and he's been so experienced to see what's gone well and what hasn't for the past decade, to me, with George Payton being, you know, keeping an open mind, I feel more confident about whatever decision is made than I have ever felt about anything with the Broncos in the future. I think, boy, I'll tell you this, no matter who owns the Denver Broncos, no matter who, you should try to keep Patrick Spythe as an executive for your team in some sort of capacity. That dude knows what he's doing. He's seen it all. He knows the organization like nobody else. And I have a firm belief that the right things will be done this time around in the coaching search and for the future. They're a better team if Patrick Spythe is involved with it.
And again,
that's a guy behind the scenes nobody really knows much about.
I totally agree with you. I feel very optimistic about the period we're in as an organization. A huge part of why I feel that way is because I think about George Payton the exact same way. Like, I think George Payton is fantastic. And you've actually surprised me a little bit here with your opinion of the coaching search so far, because you've been pretty hard on George. And you called the draft a failure, said it was a literal F.
Yep.
You've not liked a lot of the stuff that he's done so far. So you've actually shocked me that I honestly thought that you'd be sitting here destroying the coaching search so far. And I give you credit for approaching each situation as its own individual situation.
Yeah, because I don't hate George Payton. It's got nothing.
No, personal. No. But you've said he's been a failure so far as a GM. So not as a person, but you have said he's been a failure as a GM.
I said the draft was a failure, and I will stick by that because of the quarterback situation. But I can take every event as its own individual situation. I just don't want to see the same mistakes again. That's all. And that's what I saw from Joe Ellis and John Elway. They made the same mistakes time after time after time. And we cannot have that.
They did it with VJ. They did the exact same thing with VJ and Vic Fangio. They went into Vance Joseph knowing that he was going to be the guy.
Yep.
They went into coaching search and they were going to hire Vance Joseph because they couldn't get him as the defensive coordinator. They got blocked. They couldn't get him. They just had their minds made up. That's who it was going to be. And you went into it with a very closed mind. And then the next go around, you went into it with a very small sample size of who you wanted to interview. You only interviewed the exact same type of guys. You interviewed Mike Munchak, Vic Fangio, Chuck Pagano. Those are three identical, in the big picture, identical dudes, right. Older, grumpy dudes that have been around the block. Right. Like you had a vision for what you wanted, so you did not go into the coaching search open-minded. If you try to connect the dots on all the interview candidates we've got right now, that would look like a spider web. I have no clue what George Payton's predetermined notions are on this coaching search because all the candidates look so radically different.
Yeah, and remarkably, you made the same mistake with Case Keenum and Joe Flacco, which is just stunning. And I'll throw Mark Sanchez in there, too, because they had an idea that he could work out for a little bit. I mean, it was just a disaster. And without the tutelage of Gary Kubiak, you almost had nothing here. And frankly, you got kind of lucky. you got kind of lucky that Joe Ellis walked down the hallway to John Elway and said, what about Peyton Manning? You got kind of lucky there. That wasn't even Elway's idea. That was Ellis's idea. And to complete that story, you got lucky that Joe Ellis got on a plane and went down to New Orleans and straighten things out with Peyton Manning, or they would have moved on from Peyton Manning after year three.
But you got to be grateful that you had John Elway. Even if you're saying that he got lucky, a huge part of why you got Peyton Manning was John Elway. And Peyton's told everybody that. You know, John Elway was a huge part of the reason why Peyton Manning wanted to come here. And you sit down at dinner with John Elway, and that's still pretty cool. So Peyton Manning, he looked at that like that was pretty cool, and it was a huge part of why Peyton chose the Broncos.
D-Mac, your obsession with quarterbacks has made you look like an idiot on any other opinion you've ever had. Levi, my man.
That's not nice, Levi.
No. Well, let me tell you. What do you think our discussions in Buffalo were all about while we had Jim Kelly? Do you think we were obsessing about quarterbacks?
Right.
When I was here and John Elway was here, what do you think those conversations were like? What do you think conversations would be like if we were in Green Bay or if we had been in Boston for the past 20 years? You move on to something else. The reason you think we're obsessed about the quarterback conversation here is that what else is there in the past 6 years on this topic?
I wasn't listening to you because I was playing and I didn't listen to sports talk, but I'm going to assume that during the 4 years you had with Peyton Manning, you weren't talking about quarterbacks.
Well,
you stuttered on that. Did I give you too much credit on that?
Until the final year.
Okay, well, I think that was fair to talk about it during the final year.
Until the final year. Yeah, that's only why I hesitated. Yeah. But, Tyler, I used to complain to people around here, ooh, it's a little too boring these days.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we all like that? I'll kill you with truth coming up next.
I'm just an old truth teller.
It's time for D-Mac to kill you with truth.
I want the truth!
Tell the truth!
And the truth shall set you free!
Here on The Drive.
I'm going to give this one quick.
I'm
watching Mike Evans implode on Twitter this afternoon about quarterbacks, and I've dubbed it the Elway-Evans syndrome. It's a syndrome because that sort of says a repetitive behavior or something relatively negative. And the syndrome here is a fear of failure. And Mike loves to point me as the pick anybody, just pick anybody sort of concept. Well, the truth is, Mike, and anybody else going through the Elway-Evans syndrome, they're really paralyzed by fear. Fear that things aren't going to work out rather than an expectation that things can work out. So it certainly isn't pick anybody. But I'll give you this. When you need a quarterback, there's no other way to handle it if you want a long-term young quarterback than just take the chance and take the best available guy that you can figure out as high as possible. You want to go on the Evans-Elway syndrome, you pick what's left. So nobody should be drafted in the first round, according to you guys. So your concept is to pick the best quarterback that's left later on? The fear of failure in general is just not the way you should operate. And that's what you get with the Elway-Evans syndrome. So if you want to accuse me of picking anybody, just anybody, it's disingenuous at best. And the Broncos are in another pickle because you can't choose when you suck. That if we're having this quarterback talk again, the truth is you got to figure out who the best options are and you got to make a choice. And there's no way around it at pick number 9 if that's the way you're going to go. And that's the truth. Simple. And do not suffer from the Evans-Elway syndrome, which is a fear of failure.
Oh, man. It'll never go away, will it? It'll never, ever go away.
I guess not.
I agree with you so much more than I agree with Mike Evans. Of course, it doesn't make any sense that if you need a quarterback, the best way to get him is to wait. That doesn't make any sense. Of course. You know, I at times have definitely thought that you are in the category of pick just anyone. For sure. And I know that you've definitively stated many times that that's not your overall philosophy. But I generally have grouped you into that category because it's felt like, okay, maybe it's not just anybody, but there's a lot of options. And so that's where I disagree with you just a little bit on, I don't think that it's that obvious that if you're at nine, you have to draft a quarterback. I think that's crazy. So like last year, for example, I wanted them to draft Justin Fields. Well, Justin Fields looks like he's terrible so far. I'm not saying he's going to be a bust. He certainly has got an opportunity to be successful, but looks like a bust so far. And let's say for 1 second that Mac Jones didn't look successful. Now, I know that he has, so I'm not ignoring the reality. But if neither one of them were any good, well, George Payton did not make a mistake on passing on a quarterback. So the same thing could, in theory, be applied to this year. Now, I agree with you that if there's a quarterback that you like and you need a quarterback, you should take him. And you should take him as high as you possibly can because, of course, logically, that makes sense. It doesn't make any sense to wait to the fourth round to get the best quarterback. No, you got to get him when you can get him. However, where I lose you a little bit is that I don't agree that it's just a no-brainer. You have to draft a quarterback at number nine. And that's where it does sound like it's draft just anybody. Because when you say it's no-brainer at number nine, you have to draft the quarterback. Well, how do you know who's available? And how do you know if they're any good? Like, if Mac Jones and Justin Fields weren't any good, he didn't make a mistake on passing on the QB.
The key is what you said, need a quarterback. The thing is, do you need a quarterback? And then you just kind of go from there. Here are two things that indicate you're really operating from a fear of failure. And I've heard this many times. One, all the quarterbacks are overrated. A general blanket statement that takes no deep thought or insight whatsoever. Just this premise that all quarterbacks are overrated. And then you mentioned Josh Rosen and a collection of other loser type of quarterbacks. That indicates you're operating from fear of failure. The other fear of failure statement is our coaching staff couldn't develop that quarterback anyway. And if you're going to operate with those two thoughts, and you're not, but there's others that have used that commonly to say why you shouldn't draft a quarterback in the first round. Those two reasons.
It depends on the style of play, though. The second statement that he wouldn't have worked here, I think that could be applied with truth to a lot of players. Lamar Jackson would have never worked here. We would have never developed it. We would have never committed to it. We would have never gone all in on the system that is required to make Lamar Jackson work. We would have sprinkled it in. We would have tried some wildcat stuff. So I think that statement can be applied. But the idea that you can't draft a quarterback unless it's Andrew Luck, like if you need the generational prospect
to draft
a quarterback,
right.
Of course that's living in a fear that you're never, ever right. going to draft a quarterback. Because guess what?
Right.
John Elway, Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence,
right.
generational prospects.
Right.
They come around, Bob, once every 8 years.
Right. And by the way, the strategy of just taking the best that's left after the first round, good luck with that. That's it. And it starts with, do you need a quarterback? By the way, I'll tell you this. If you really, and Chicago's going to, we'll see what happens with Chicago now. We really will. Because what they've done is they've taken the guy who drafted Justin Fields and the guy that coached him, and they got rid of him. So they've got an open lane right there in Chicago with Justin Fields. Unless they just dump Justin Fields and they do what the Cardinals did, which they could do with Rosen and Kyler Murray. They're in a situation to do that, Tyler, if they want. But if they don't, okay, then everything they do should surround Justin Fields. If not, just move on from Justin Fields just like the Cardinals did with Rosen and Kyler Murray. Either way, though, the Cardinals went back and drafted Kyler Murray. And trust me, taking Kyler Murray first overall, you don't think that was kind of a crazy shot? I mean, an undersized guy that you would really have to arrange things around? That, hey, man, we weren't that high on Kyler Murray. He definitely surprised me with how good he is, and he is that good. But you had a guy with Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim. How that guy kept his job as GM is amazing. But at least you had a coach that was on board with how to do things, and that is such an important thing for the Broncos as they make this next step. So we'll see how they do. I think they'll do the right thing.
I got to laugh at just one little thing.
Sure.
And I know that you weren't aware of this when you just said it.
Pink shirt?
No.
Oh.
Bears are going to have a tough time moving on from Justin Fields without a first-round pick. I know the logic behind what you said. I get it. I'm not making fun of the statement.
Well, there you go.
But they don't have a first-round pick, so they can't do what the Cardinals did.
Unless they were to get a first-round pick.
Sure.
Would somebody give up a first-round pick for Justin Fields?
Oh, No.
Probably not. So you got Justin Fields.
Yeah.
So make it work, Bears. Yeah. We'll see what you do now. All right, we'll talk to our guy, Troy Rank. We have action at Ball Arena tonight for the Nuggets. This is The Drive on the Fan.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
We may have been doing more interesting shows off the air than on the air today. We're trying, but the conversations off the air have been fantastic.
It happens. Right now.
We got an early Mount Palumbis.
What's up?
You want an early one?
Sure.
Since there are more teams that need a franchise quarterback than teams that have one, is there anything the NFL can do to better prepare these kids to play the most important position in the game? That's a great question. Camps leading into the draft, other leagues. That is an awesome question, because once you leave college and you get to the NFL, there's almost no development whatsoever.
Well, NFL is a weird sport. It's the only sport in which there's no developmental league, and there's nowhere to send guys. Like, there used to be NFL Europe, but even that, NFL Europe, that wasn't a true developmental league. You sent them there in the off season, but they were still on your roster. They're still playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that there is anything that could be done. Number one, college football is the farm system. They're not attached to any teams, and you certainly don't have any say over what they do, but that's the developmental league. And if you think about why every single year, like, there's only 32 of these jobs, and there's probably on any given year only 10 teams that are truly satisfied with their quarterback.
Yeah.
There's probably 15 or 18 that are not going to move on, but they're kind of stuck with like somebody like Derek Carr, where they're kind of in the middle. And the reason that they're that way is because it's the hardest job in all of sports. So I don't know if there is anything you can do to make it easier.
Let's bring our Denver 7 Broncos insider, Troy Rankin, on the conversation on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Troy, let's just start with news off the bat. How did things go in Detroit for the Broncos today? What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, again, Aaron Glenn's an impressive guy. He's a leader. He played 15 years in the league. He's been an executive in the league. He's a long shot. I mean, let's just call it what it is. You're not going to hire a guy coming off a 3-win season as a first-time coordinator for a defense that gave up 27 points a game. That would just be an impossible sell to Broncos country. But, you know, Glenn is an impressive guy. And the reason they give up 27 points a game, that's 5 points better than a year ago. But from what I understand, he did fine. But it starts to get real with Hackett for me on Saturday. It's Hackett and Quinn, O'Connell, Callahan. Those are the names for me that are going to decide who this next coach is.
Hey, this certainly is not important. I'm just kind of curious. Why do you think they flew to Detroit instead of having him come here? Like, I get why you're going to Nathaniel Hackett, but why do you think they went to Detroit?
All I can think, and I don't know, the information is not been plentiful in this, is that they're going to end up in Wisconsin anyway. And so if you're going to go out there and maybe that's George's way of just saying, I want to come to you, make it as comfortable for you as possible type thing. I don't really know, Tyler. COVID has been so weird. But if you're going to go to Detroit, it makes sense, because then you're going to be near Green Bay, Wisconsin. Sure. So if you stay there, I mean, technically you could stay.
I guess. Or you could just stay here and gotten on a direct flight to go to Wisconsin. It doesn't matter.
That's what I joked about is that they're taking train to Detroit.
Exactly.
So that they're saving them some time.
We're taking a private plane no matter what. All right, this list that we've got, is this final? Do you think that anybody else will pop up?
I think there could be a change if, let's say, Gerard Mayo gets the Texans job right away and their search is quick. So you could see a couple candidates fall out. Maybe one comes back in. But based on everything I'm hearing, Doug Peterson and Brian Flores are not in the plan right now. And I knew when they got to 8 and we hadn't heard of Peterson, that did not bode well for him. So even if he were to appear now, clearly he wasn't a priority for them, because they could have interviewed him the first day after the season ended. He's a free agent. So it felt like And I haven't ever confirmed they would interview him. Felt like the agent was pushing that much more than the team's interest in him. And I don't know exactly why. I know the way it fell out in Philadelphia has created pause with some teams, the way it ended there. But, you know, his resume speaks for itself, but I think he will get another head coaching job. It just doesn't appear, as we sit here today, that he's not a priority for the Broncos.
Yeah, anytime I see a lock and four report, it's always like, okay, it could be right, but it could be wrong. And when I see Adam Schefter talk about Mayo is the front runner for the Texans job, I just think, oh, wow, well, that's probably going to happen, Troy. Agreed?
Yeah, and remember when you had Schefter on the other day, you asked him about Doug Peterson, and to say he gave like a lukewarm response about his candidacy in Denver would be accurate. He did not stress that, oh, yeah, that, you know, and that was what I was hearing from some league sources is like, yeah, Doug's going to be another coach, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be in Denver. Now, again, could things change? Of course they can. But given how detailed and thorough George Payton is, he did not come by this list by accident. And the fact that Peterson hasn't been on it yet, for me, speaks volumes.
You know, the Broncos are obviously interviewing Luke Getsy because they're interested in a package deal with Nathaniel Hackett. He'd be those. Hackett would be the head coach. Do you see anybody else on this list that you could connect the dots that one dude would be the head coach, another guy would be a part of the package?
Well, it's just interesting to me if they could somehow get a Callahan, O'Connell, or even Mike McDaniel, who's not on their list, but the Mike McDaniel from San Francisco, to pair with Dan Quinn. Or Getsy to pair with Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
I mean, Quinn ran an offense. You know that offense better than I do, Tyler. He ran, you know, the Shanahan offense was when he was his best coach. So that's the one that Callahan would be harder because you're going to have to make O'Connell or Callahan like assistant head coach. They're not going to leave for a parallel move. That doesn't happen in the NFL. But Getsy's the guy to keep an eye on because he's a passing game coordinator who clearly appears ready to become an offensive coordinator. So if he didn't come with Hackett, could he come with Glenn? Or, you know, Dan Quinn? I mean, that's definitely something. Or Mike McDaniel from San Francisco, could you make him assistant head coach and bring him along with Dan Quinn? I mean, you can see some of the permutations here on how this could fit. But Hackett is an interesting one because he feels like he's ready for the next step of this group. I like Callahan and O'Connell as well. And if you look at the history of recent hires, let's say like the last 11, 12 good hires, I think 90% of them have been offensive coaches. The only recent defensive coaches for me that have done well are Sean McDermott and Mike Vrabel. All the other coaches that have done well in the last few coaching cycles, mm-hmm. all have been offensive coaches. So mm-hmm. if you go Quinn, you've really got to know who is his offensive guy and hope that offensive guy doesn't get hired away after like 1 year.
Did you, and Tyler, I don't know if you saw this, it was very down, off the radar story, but the Rockies hired Sterling Monfort, 30 years old, a second son who works with the Rockies. He's been working with the Rockies, and the other son's working with the Rockies too, but they're putting this Monfort in charge of scouting. Troy, do I got that right?
Yeah, I believe he's scouting director, right? Wasn't that the title they gave him?
Say that again?
Didn't they give him the title of scouting director?
I believe so, yeah. I was wondering what your reaction is to the son of the owner getting a high-level executive position.
Yeah, and listen, they do things completely different. They operate in a silo. Nothing they would do would surprise me regarding that. I know Walker. He's a good dude. I've known Walker for a long time, and he worked a lot of jobs there. Through the years, I don't know Sterling. He was kind of transitioning in there when I left to cover football, 7 years ago?
Yeah.
I would just say this is, you know, that's a difficult job. That, you know, the scouting directors and that those aren't jobs for the faint of heart. And they are very important to an organization in terms of creating a pipeline and developing talent. So, you know, but am I surprised? There's nothing they would do that surprise me because they operate in a silo, ambivalent to the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's it sucks. It's sad. All right, thank you, Troy. Appreciate it.
You got it, too.
There you go, Denver 7 Broncos insider Troy Rank. Yeah, you're going to lose that coffee bet with me this year about the Rockies. They're
Wait, what? Oh, you won't jump back on the bandwagon?
Yeah.
Yeah, you will.
No, I won't.
No, I still feel fine. 100%. Okay. You'll get about 12 games in. You'll try to hold firm. Then all of a sudden you're going to walk in, you'll be like in the second month of the season, and you'll be back in for sure.
I'm not going to root for them to lose, but they just do one dumb thing after another. So it's
seriously unbelievable. I mean, are you kidding me?
I'm not going to root for them to lose, but I know
nepotism is real. And the NFL, look, it's all over the place. I mean, if you look at the legacy bloodlines that are going on in the NFL, it's all over the place. Yeah. And I understand that's just part of the world. So I'm not offended that Dick Monfort wants to employ his kids. I'm not offended by that. But I am offended by putting them in a position like that. I am offended by, saying what that's doing is you literally have – we were talking about how they needed a middleman that could – you don't have to employ Monfort's vision. Are you kidding me? You're telling me his son is not going to agree with everything that his dad wants him to do?
Ridiculous. I mean, it's one thing when John Dutton puts Jamie as the attorney general and Casey as the livestock manager. But
well, this is like a big picture takeover of the world plan.
And Beth is just, she's crazy.
Well, you know, she works for the enemies often.
She did. She did.
Yeah.
She knows what's what.
Right.
Trying 1883. I'm watching it. I am watching it. I've watched every episode, and I will continue to watch it because I'm in. Once I'm in, I'm in stupidly. But I just need.
It's a different show. It's a different vibe, but it's fantastic.
Right now, it's just too much like every other Western sort of show, and it's not as good as like Deadwood. If you're going to go to that time period, and it's just not as good as Deadwood, I'm in.
Never watched Deadwood, so I can't compare.
Oh, dude, if you like this style of, you got it. Well, I'm not going to overhype it. I think Deadwood is worth consuming. A treat.
Man.
Yeah. I think you'll see the difference, but I'm in. I'm just like, I needed more on the river crossing. And there's just too many long periods of dialogue that they're talking about. I don't know. Just get to it.
Now you just want it to be Yellowstone, and it's not.
I want it to be Yellowstone.
That's your problem. You're watching Yellowstone.
I know.
You're
just
not.
Give me season five. I get it. Yeah. They got there, and they bought the land of Montana. I get it. You know, it sucked. It sucks. Guess what? There's a million ways to die in the West. I understand. You can get run over by a wagon wheel and die. Yeah, I get it. It sucks there. All right? There you go. Ahem. It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. It's 5 o'clock.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.